Will report on the 20th. I'm Andrew Mearns here with Matt Provenzano and Matt Franchik. How are you guys doing?
Good. Doing well.
Pretty good.
Do you? What are your thoughts on A-Rod's handwriting? It's the world has to know.
It's better than mine.
I'm gonna pull a Pawn Stars and bring in my guy who knows about handwriting.
Good. We need our handwriting expert.
Yeah, we're going to determine if it's a true A-Rod signature.
What if it turns out he, like, forged the note? That's the next headline. A-Rod forged apology.
I know a big thing when, like, ever they have those serial killer TV shows on, like, A&E, they always talk about how, like, big loops are like a sociopath. So, like, I can totally see people, like, analyzing the loops in his cursive. Like, the bigger loops show aggression.
It must be a sign that he's back on the roids.
Shows more testosterone.
I think the Wall Street Journal person said that apparently, like, his handwriting was girly, so maybe not.
Oh, yes.
Very sophisticated, Wall Street Journal. Well done.
Yeah, very good analysis, gendering handwriting.
Yeah, A-Rod is basically back now, so we're going to have to be talking about him a little bit. So, I mean, that's basically my reaction to A-Rod at this point. Just, I have nothing to say. He's going to play a little bit, then he'll get hurt, and then nothing will happen.
I mean, him peeing on carpets would be funny if it was any other team. But because it's our team, it's like, oh, come on, not again.
It's a form of aggression. And I like the timing that, you know, his apology came out the same day that Bosch was arraigned for, like, what, 4 years or something? Going to jail.
Nice.
Yep. Good work trusting this guy entirely, Major League Baseball.
Basically bribing him. Or coercing him, however you want to put it.
Yep. Well, didn't they say, like, what, they were going to sue him if he did not cooperate?
Yeah, they were going to basically, like, make him bankrupt if he didn't cooperate.
Well,
so, otherwise known as in the business as extortion.
We cut to Bud Selig sounding himself on an island.
Oh, my goodness.
I would just like to say that The Wall Street Journal's headline for A-Rod's analysis says, "The capital I's, that's where you see the personal ego," says a handwriting expert.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
They're so large and printed. That's the kind of capital I where you say they're very independent and strong-willed.
Okay.
Oh, this is the best. And when he writes Major League Baseball, the M has a higher hump on the third hump, which is an indication of someone who is very self-conscious.
Oh.
So, he's a third hump guy.
Well, you know, you can never trust those third hump guys. Second hump guys, maybe, but it's not even hump day, A-Rod. Come on.
And the third hump is higher.
These people have been doing.
And they're still, like, they're analyzing also, like, how he writes his name, but, like, that's the same signature as when he writes his name on, like, a baseball. It says, in the signature itself, where he writes Alex, the circle around it, we call that a magic circle of protection.
Jesus. Like, the Onion could be writing this. I mean,
they probably paid that guy.
Like, listen, we need you to talk about penmanship. We'll give you X dollars. Okay. This is the first time the skill has ever become useful for me.
like that some guy has like a handwriting analyzing like business, and like he's just like sleeping on his desk, and all of a sudden you have to call like, what? Is it the right number? Are you sure you want me? Like for the first time ever, someone's calling him.
The Wall Street Journal? Are you sure this isn't just like some guy trolling me?
Steve, is this you again?
It's not funny. I wonder if there's a guy with like a penmanship blog.
It's his big break.
Oh Jesus. Okay. Let's move on from A-Rod. I can't really talk about him too much without like bursting into
exhaustion. Only so many takes. Only so many takes that can be had.
Goodness. Okay. So, other stuff going on. The Yankees announced that they will retire the numbers of Bernie Williams, Andy Pettit, and Jorge Posada later this year. Clay Bellinger, sorry. Try again next time. We'll think about it. And Willie Randolph will be honored in Monument Park as well. So, fun history ceremonies going on this year. People can complain about the numbers being retired, but I don't particularly care. What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean,
I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, when it first was announced, like, you saw the jokes like, oh, he's running out of numbers, but one, who cares? Two, would be awesome if they had like a 3-digit number. I would totally buy that jersey.
Right?
I think that the weirdest thing is the fact that they waited until now to retire Bernie's number. Like, he's been retired for almost he's been done for almost a decade.
Yeah. A little odd timing, but I guess they were waiting for a year when they knew they didn't have, like, Derek Jeter to provide pull anymore.
And I guess it was also convenient. It's like, oh, we're not going to be that good, so we should also just cash in on all these guys.
Or let's not get any false impressions about this. This is like a cash grab, and
That's absolutely what this is. There's no other way. If the team was projected to win 95 games, there's no way they do three of these. They may do one.
Yeah, like in the entire like from 1995 to 2012 or whatever. I think they retired like Mattingly's number and Ron Guidry's number. Maybe they had like a plaque ceremony or two, but other than that, it was like nothing. And, like, I realize that was what a lot of these players are playing, but still, like, they could have retired Bernie's number any time from, like, 2007 onward, and yet they waited till now to do it, because, like, oh, wait, the only thing that people might come to the park to see is, like, how will A-Rod screw up this time, or something like that. Or at least that's what the fans looking for.
Yeah, they could have easily retired the number when they opened up the new stadium, Bernie's number. But it was probably just like, oh, we don't need the money. Like, who cares? But now they're like, oh, like, this is their cushion to get a few more fans in the seats and have people watch. Because now they're going to have, like, the pregame ceremony and everybody's going to watch it on TV. So, like, people are going to be watching the game and the advertisements for, like, 4 or 5 hours. So it's a big money thing, and that's the only thing that they really have. Like, if they were projected to win 95 games, I doubt they'd want to do something like all of these ceremonies. They may do a couple, one or two, but
it's just like a few of the games during the season. But that's what they're going for.
Like when they retired like Guidry and I think like Reggie Jackson's number, I think like they did it on like Old Timers Day, which is a day when people will be there anyway. Like,
yeah, I think you're right.
I could be wrong, but that sounds familiar to me. And like now, it's three entirely different days. It's like, yeah, no, it's nice that you're doing this, but it's a cash grab.
Well, it's the same deal as like last year when they gave O'Neill and Tino Martinez plaques. That was a thing. And yeah. Joe Torre's number retirement was also not on Old Timers Day. The Goose Gossage and Willie Randolph things, those make sense that they're on Old Timers Day because, I mean, while I'm sure that a strong degree of the fan base does support Willie Randolph and Goose Gossage, those aren't the names that are going to bring like fans of the dynasty teams out to the ballpark. So.
Right.
So just get them when you got the older fans coming for the old timers get his stuff anyway. And actually, I think that'll be a pretty cool moment for like Willie Randolph, just because like you know all those you have all those people that he played with and key people before, people after. And he coached so many of those players, too, so that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
Plus, he's hella deserving. Yeah. Way overdue. Well,
yeah. That's totally true. I think this goes along. I don't know if you both. I know Andrew. I don't know if you did. Matt F. read the chapter about the Yankees in the BP annual.
Yeah.
And that it kind of like goes directly along with it. And I know like. I know Vince talks about this a lot with the Yankees, and it basically just like that this type of stuff, these like the Derek Jeter fiasco, was a perfect way of padding their revenue when they weren't as good. And if you think about it, like if they add, you know, an extra 10,000 people to the seats for three games, and everybody spends like between $50 and $100, that's like a couple of million dollars extra. For really nothing. Like,
yep.
For really, they don't have to put anything else in. So that's huge for them, plus, like making an extra few million dollars.
Plus, I'm sure there will be like T-shirts for like I was at Bernie Williams Day or whatever.
They'll bust back out the Bernie Williams jerseys.
Yeah, they might do like a bobblehead or something later on in the season where you know they'll do a giveaway, but then they'll be able to charge for after that. So yeah.
Yeah. So like. It's like two to three million as a conservative estimate, but like they could probably cash in on as much as like $5 million.
Yep.
In just these BS revenue things on an event they essentially just created. So it's something they're going to need, considering they're like going to be a 500 team.
Yep. Like I think there will still be some stuff to watch this year, but I think for probably the average fan. That might be the big pull. So, and they're all deserving players, I think. I mean, I was talking about this on Twitter the other day, but once they opened up the door for, like, you know, Billy Martin, Reggie Jackson, Phil Rizzuto, all these other players who were, like, they were really good Yankees, no doubt, but you maybe wouldn't have considered them at the time with the retired numbers that were there then when it was just, like, Mansell, DiMaggio, Ruth Garrick, whatever. But since you've already opened the floodgates, then there's no point in, like, standing at the door being like, no, I don't think we can retire Bernie Williams' number. And, you know, they're the most successful franchise in the history of sports, so of course they're going to have a very high amount of retired numbers.
Yeah, and, like, it doesn't matter. Like, nothing happens if you retire a number. Like, if they make a mistake, like, what happens? Like, if they realize later, oh, maybe we shouldn't have retired their number, they made the money on the event, they, like, created a lot of buzz, like, it helps their brand. It does nothing negative to the team. So, like, the hot takes about too many numbers being retired is just a hot take.
But Dante Bichette III will have to wear number 72.
Oh, no. I mean, even if they did, like, who cares? Who cares what now? Like, if they have to all wear numbers that, you know, offensive linemen wear in football, I don't care.
I think it'd be pretty funny. Like, I thought... Yeah. So, like, when they called up Jesus Montero, and, you know, we all thought he was going to be, like, the next big thing, and he was wearing number 63, and I'm like, I really hope he, like, wears that his entire career, just so he'd be like, oh, yeah, this really great Yankee wore number 63, which is, like, kind of ridiculous. And, like, Jabba was wearing 62, Phil Hughes was wearing 65, and that just amused me more than anything else, so, like...
It did, but the thing is, we did, like, get used to those numbers.
Exactly, like, yeah, I wouldn't have even thought of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I directly associate 62 with Jabba, 65 with Hughes, and now it's, like, 68 with Betances.
Oh, yeah, that's another good example.
Yep.
A better example, because he's not trash.
Exactly, and it looks like he won't be trash next year. So he's like the type of player that if he wore 68 his whole career, I wouldn't bat an eye. And like if a player decided to wear 78 and they ended up being a great player, I wouldn't care because they were a great player.
Yeah, reminder that the White Sox have number 72 retired for Carlton Fisk. So
yeah.
So you know it'll be a thing. But it'll be amusing, so whatever. And as Matt F. said, it'll be great if they get three-digit jerseys, or like Justin Bopp's idea, put emojis on the back of jerseys.
Oh yeah, someone put the 100 with the 100 emoji on the back of someone's jersey. I like that.
Yep. Or if they get like a Jason Nix clone, they can give him the shrug emoji.
And the Nunez one is just the guy jumping off the building.
Yes. Nunez really should have worn number 0. There needs to be a Yankee who wears number zero. I actually really want to see that.
Yeah.
I know in an earlier podcast, Tanya said that she thought it should be Greg Bird, because the zero would be like a bird egg, and he's hatching. Okay. So, those are our hashtag hot takes on the retired numbers. The hot take is that we don't care, which is a very tepid take. It's a very tepid take, I guess, actually, but whatever.
Our take is, that's cool.
Yep, yep. That's what we're going to get with a February podcast about baseball right now, so. Yeah. So, another thing coming up with the spring training, there will be some competition that we're going to talk about a little bit, even though the competition's not really much of a competition. Like, second base, Steven Drew is going to be playing there, whether we like it or not. And that's fine. I think anyone who's, like, really upset about that probably should have made their peace with it a while ago, because it's just going to happen until Steven Drew is terrible or until Rob Refsnyder forces the Yankees' hand. And I don't think that they will hesitate if Steven Drew is struggling and Rob Refsnyder is showing great defensive improvements at AAA or something like that and still hitting well. I mean, do you really think that would hold them up?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that, like, there's an illusion that the Yankees, they just love to go with the veterans. Like, because what good prospects have they had? It's not like they've had Mike Trout tearing up AAA and, like, they're going to play, you know, Carlos Beltran instead if he's bad. It's like they're going to play the better player no matter what. Teams, like, are generally not stupid. And if they have a much, much better player, they're going to take the improvement.
They did hold, like, Brian Roberts over Refsnyder last year. But Refsnyder had only just come up from, like, Double A a couple weeks before they got rid of him, Robert. So if he's, like, tearing up Triple A, I don't think they would hesitate the same way.
Yeah. And the other example is, like, Chris Stewart over J.R. Murphy a couple years ago. But, again,
that's
kind of
similar, though.
Yeah, because, like, I think J.R. Murphy had been Double A that season. Yeah, he started the season in Double A. So, and, like, while I think naturally, like, a lot of us as fans would much rather see the Yankees go with a young player than a veteran. I mean, that's just not... I feel like there are very few teams in baseball that would actually do that, even especially if they're kind of like hanging around a pennant race the way the 2013 and 2014 Yankees were for a little while. So,
and the other important thing to note is that, like, Chris Stewart was kind of a known quantity. Like, as bad as he was offensively, you knew what you were going to get. And also, his defense was good enough that he's an okay backup catcher. Mm-hmm. And that you don't know if Murphy's offense would even be good enough to justify being there, because you know his defense wasn't going to be as good as Stewart's. So it wasn't, like, obvious that he should have been up.
Like, I would have put him up, but that doesn't but I'm not necessarily expecting the Yankees to do the same. So.
No,
but
no.
Anyway, that was... Yeah. That was a couple years ago. But I think that if... I think this... Well, first of all, I think that Steven Drew is going to have a better year than he did in 2014. I mean...
It'd be hard not to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's not that bad. I think he just struggled a bit, and maybe there were some other factors going on that... in terms of missing spring training, I don't think that was it as much, but... I think there's a decent chance that he could bounce back and surprise some fans, but I wonder how many fans will actually give him a chance, especially if he struggles in, like, the first week or two.
What, you're saying Yankee fans aren't open? They're not open-minded?
I know, I'm raising some serious questions here, you know. And as for, like, Jose Perella, I think he has a decent shot at making the team if they... Well, actually, I don't know, maybe not if they still have Brendan Ryan on the roster, which kind of surprises me, but I think if you want to have Perella in, like, a bench role, that's fine, but I just don't really have any faith in him beyond that. So, other things going on. I mean, for the fifth starter spot, it looks like it'll probably be Chris Capuano, because, like, the competition is what, Scott Baker and
Kyle Davis,
Adam Warren, maybe.
Kyle Davies, maybe Adam Warren, who other people are higher on than me.
Esmiel Rogers.
Yeah, Esmiel Rogers. maybe if we really like Brian Mitchell, he's in the mix too. But I don't think that they would put him in the major league rotation that fast. So yeah, I think any fan that doesn't think that Chris Capuano is going to be in the rotation is I got a bridge to sail you. Because I mean, who else is going to be there? It's not really the field is not attractive, so it's probably going to be Capuano. It won't be great, but hopefully Ivan Nova won't take too long to come back.
I mean, I guess that the upside for what people think Adam Warren is they think he could kind of be like Phelps. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Phelps was by no means like great, but like I would prefer David Phelps over Chris Capuano like, by a bit. So,
well, yeah, like if I'm the one like making a decision, I don't really want to see Chris Capuano. I'd rather go with like Warren or someone like someone with at least some intrigue behind them rather than just like veteran lefty.
Yeah, and I think that there's always the chance that like because Capuano's there, if he blows up and people are like, oh man, he's really bad, you could easily put Capuano back. Mm-hmm. It's not like if you make Warren the starter, he's permanently the starter forever. I think the leash would be pretty short.
Yeah, I think sometimes people make too big of a deal out of like the opening day rotation because like that's not going to be the one that like hangs around except in the most rare circumstances. So, I mean, the Yankees rotation is not really deluxe right now, anyway. So,
I think the funny thing about Chris Capuano being the fifth starter is that Sporkle quiz in like 6 years is going to be really hard for like 2015 because I'm totally going to forget Chris Capuano.
Who the hell made 16 starts?
Yeah, I'm going to completely forget that he was an opening day starter for the Yankees.
Hey, Carl Pavano was an opening day starter.
Yeah. There were definitely a few of them that I'm like, whoa, did not realize that.
Hey.
So that's do it for the spoilers.
Yeah, that's the starting rotation spot. I guess that's in question. Oh yeah, I forgot about Jose De Paula. I guess he's still floating around, but whatever.
The other of the De Paula brothers.
Yeah. The closer spot, it's, I don't know, gonna be, it's going to be one of Miller or Betances. I don't think they're going to. They didn't pay Andrew Miller all that money to like not at least be in the closing mix. So I think even though Dellin was tremendous last year, Miller's probably the favorite. But they could go either way. Or they could like if they want to mix and match, that would be just fine with me. I mean, you don't need to be married to the idea of a closer's role.
No, yep. I think they go into opening day without a defined role.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there will be some hot takes about, like, they can't do this.
There needs to be. There's going to be definitely hot takes about how the uncertainty is going to hurt their performance and how because they don't know what role they're going to be in, they're going to feel so anxious. I'm like, they're Major League Baseball players. They can handle a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
Oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Or, like, I think if they do decide
to... They'll just name Justin Wilson closer just to
throw people off. No, Brian Wilson.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Yes, Brian Wilson is on the team.
They go out and they sign Rafael Soriano to be the closer again.
Like, yeah, we just really wanted to hear his closer's music again. The Rafael Soriano song. I really enjoyed that happened, that, like, you know, he had, like, a song made for him. You know what, if you're making, like, millions of dollars to, like, close games, like, yeah, give me my own song. Figure it out. But I think, yeah, I could see them maybe, if they wanted to do, like, a dual closer thing, maybe Girardi just tells one of them before the game, all right, you're my closer for tonight, so then they at least know that they're in a defined role for then. Because I know sometimes pitchers are like, well, we prefer to know around when we should be getting ready. But if Girardi just tells them before the game, like, okay, Miller, you're my closer today. Betances, you're my closer today. Maybe that makes a difference. I don't know.
Because then, essentially, you have, like, a closer every single night. Like, you never not have a closer. You never don't have a closer. Yeah. So, that could help, but it could also hurt because then you don't have cases where you have both of them I don't know, unless you're like, oh, you're the closer, you're the other guy. I don't know how they would do that. They'd have to have some system.
Mm-hmm. You're my eighth inning guy tonight.
Yeah. You know, I feel really bad. We, you know, we're only an out away from getting to Dylan Batista. Like, pull Ned Yost.
We were just an out away.
An out away from getting to Kelvin Herrera, you know. Such a shame that we had to go with Aaron Crow.
That was the thing. Hopefully that's another aspect that will happen this year. I'm just hoping that even though, like, I do like the Yankees' bullpen beyond Betances and Miller, I really like David Carpenter. I think Justin Wilson's a pretty good pickup. And so I think those guys could be pretty good, too. But I just hope that Girardi doesn't tie himself too much with, like, we need Miller to pitch this inning or Dillon to pitch this inning. Because toward the end of the season, he was starting to seemed to restrict Dillon to the eighth inning a little bit more than he was doing when they were still figuring it out. Wait a minute, is Dillon for real? So, I'm hopeful, but I acknowledge that most managers in baseball aren't really going to deviate from that. Just as long as you don't really have a Jeff Weaver situation going on, I'll be fine.
Yeah, but we'll see. I think they'll keep it pretty fluid. So, I'm not losing sleep over it.
The Joe Torre move. Uh-oh. Extra innings side. I'm going to bring in Jose DePaula instead of turning to Dylan.
You know, it's the top of the ninth inning and we're on the road, so.
Baseball rules say, you know, he's got to get that arbitrary number. Okay. I think that's enough talking about random spring training stuff going on. How about this? Who is one player that you're looking forward to seeing most this spring training? We can start with Matt F.
It's probably Rob Refsnyder. Just want to see like him against not every day, but somewhat every day against like major league semi competition.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's been in spring training before either. So that's and last year he wasn't.
I remember him last year.
Last year he wasn't Rob Refsnyder. He was just like, oh, okay, yeah. he's a nice prospect. I think when we ranked the top 20 prospects last year, he might not have even made the top 20. He might have been in like 22 or something like that.
I think he was like an honorable mention, like, or something. It was like, eh.
Yeah, like he could be something, but that defense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he has been in spring training. It's been a couple of years recapping games. I don't remember seeing him play. So
I looked it up on MLB.com. He played in 3 games last year, apparently. But he went 0-3 with a strikeout, so. Sorry. That might have been one of those things where, like, you know, sometimes when, even though minor leaguers aren't on the spring training roster, they'll just bring them up from minor league camp for, like, a game or
right.
two. For, like, road trips where the veterans are like, I'm not going. I really love that, like, for the last several years of Mariano Rivera's career, he just didn't pitch spring training road games. Like, nah.
He was like the Michael Kay of spring training.
and that was the only time that Mariano Rivera was ever compared to Michael Kay. Refsnyder is apparently wearing number 98 for spring training. I can get behind that.
I hope it remains
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely.
Forever. I hope in 20 years we're talking about how number 98 is being retired.
I want the Refsnyder number 98 jersey. Oh man, I'm really happy that Dylan's keeping 68 because that's just ridiculous. Okay, Matt P, yeah. Who is one player that you really want to see?
It's not really one player. I'm interested to see the players who like are the non-roster invitees that will most likely be terrible. But Yankee fans have been hyping them up as if they're going to, like, emerge as the next Yonhair of a Solarte. So I'm excited to see guys like Kyle Roller, Cole Figueroa, Nick Noonan. These are the guys that I really want to see play because I want them to be terrible, but I want one of them to be really good.
Well, yeah, like, you'll probably get, like, Kyle Roller. Maybe he'll hit, like, 350 in spring training, and people were like, why are they not taking him on the roster?
So what I want to happen is Kyle Roller to just tear up spring training, and then Yankee fans are going to demand that Kyle Roller be the starting first baseman for opening day.
I mean, I think that's reasonable.
Or Nick Noonan, like, replaces Stephen Drew on the roster. Just something ridiculous that I just want. I want all of them to be so dreadful that people just, or like Jose Perella, I want, not that I want him to play badly, but like, I just want the whole, like, hype train of these, like, super utility players to kind of just be gone with. But I want one of them to remain and get even stronger. Sort of like the Solarte hype.
Maybe there will be, like, one player who just randomly goes, like, I don't know, 3 for 4 in one game. People are like, gotta keep an eye on this guy. There's something special about,
yeah, it's gonna be like Cole
Jonathan Galvez.
Jonathan Galvez.
I give anyone, and he's the most likely of any of these people to actually be semi-good.
Yeah, he did play. The thing is, though, this is the thing that makes me wary. So he played for the Padres AAA team, and that's in the Pacific Coast League. Keep in mind that was the same team that that Dean Anna played for.
Hey, Dean Anna won a batting title there.
The Pacific Coast League batting champion.
Most underrated player.
In baseball history.
The most underrated player. Remember his website? The Dean of Hitting.
It was like the Dean of Swing or something like that.
And like his agent gave Tanya his number at one point or something. For that interview.
That's right. Does Tanya still have his number?
Oh yeah, they text every day. They're really close.
He's just not playing baseball. He's like eating Cheetos on his couch, texting Tanya.
Apparently he's on the Cardinals.
That should last long.
Good for you, Dean Anna.
But yeah, that's...
Wasn't Carson Cestuli, like, obsessed with Dean Anna, kind of?
He was, because he's like, oh, yeah, his Steamer projections. Because, like, Steamer didn't know that, like, the Pacific Coast League doesn't do that. Like, that doesn't, like, that's not actually how good they are.
Yeah, I'd like to think that part of Carson Cestuli's thing is, like, being kind of, I don't know, intentionally kind of strange with some of his player choices, but it probably is.
Yeah, like fringe prospects.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm excited to see like utility players be bad.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
I'll take the boring answer and say I want to see Masahiro Tanaka and Michael Pineda survive spring training with their arms intact. And hopefully the other parts of their bodies.
We'll just wrap you in bubble wrap. All of March.
They come out to the mound dressed like the Michelin Man, fully covered in bubble wrap.
Yes. It's like, all right. Yeah, that's enough pictures for the day. get in the bubble suit.
They're like the little brother from A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Yep.
Coat on. He's like, I can't move my arms. It's like, that's right, Masahiro. That's the point.
It's for your own good.
Then Mark Teixeira gets his tongue stuck to a pole.
You know, I'm sure that's happened at least 3 times this winter. So, what other fun thing that we thought we would do for this pre-spring training podcast? We're going to do a draft, because what podcast doesn't need drafts? So, since we were just talking about like the non-roster invitees, I thought what would be fun is if we could each take 3 non-roster invitees, and whoever's team of 3 lasts the longest will win this very competitive and meaningful draft. So, do you guys have the players you're kind of jonesing for?
Yeah, I think I have the general idea.
Alright.
Yep. I was thinking, I think we did a draft last year of, like, minor leaders that we thought most total war, like, get called up, like, the random guys. And I don't think any of our players ever made it up, actually.
I'm not sure if they did. I think it was something about, like, we were drafting,
I took Kyle Roller.
Something about, like, Scranton Rail Riders we were drafting. I don't know. I'll have to, like, go back to that episode.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, we drafted Rail Riders to see who would, like, accumulate the least amount of war or something like that.
Or, like, It might have been a three-way tie of zero. I don't know.
It may have been. I think one of us may have called up like a relief. May have like drafted a reliever that got called up.
Or maybe one of us took Perella too, and Perella played a little bit. But...
Or like Brian Mitchell.
I think I had like Fred Lewis and Kyle Roller.
Fred Lewis, man, he crashed and burned.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to use a random number generator to determine who goes first. I'll be one, Matt F can be two, Matt P will be three. Random number generator says one, so I will pick first. I did not rig the system, as I'm sure the pundits will be after me for rigging this very important draft. So, I'm going to pick Francisco Arcia. Because, you know, he's one of the... They invited... I can't believe this. Like, I know they like inviting random catchers to spring training just so that they don't have to bother playing people they actually care about. But five still seems like a lot to invite. They invited Francisco Arcia, Trent Garrison, Juan Graterol, Kyle Higashioka, and Eddie Rodriguez. And I don't know. I have a feeling that, like, they're going to keep at least one or two of these guys around for like the entire spring training, just so that like they can take up at bats that McCann and Murphy and whoever don't have to. So I'm gonna go with Francisco Arcia.
Yeah, I mean that you do sort of need like at least four catchers, and McCann, Murphy, and Romine can only be three of them. So.
Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have nine instead. All right.
You should have three innings.
Yeah, that'll be exactly how it happens. All right, Matt F., who are you going to take?
All right, you know what? I'm going Rob Snyder because I feel like they'll keep him around for a while just to look at him.
I think that there's a good shot of that. He might last until, like, maybe the last week.
Yeah, because I figure, like, he's got it probably going to come up at some point this season. It's just a question of whether it's, like, later or as an injury. So I figure they'll want to take a pretty decent look at him against semi-major league competition.
Alright. Okay. So, for my pick, I'm going to choose Tyler Webb. I think he's the type of guy that'll either keep him the whole spring training and then send him down to AAA, and then he'll get a cup of coffee pretty quickly, or they'll just keep him on the roster and he'll just start the season with the team. But I think it's more likely they'll keep him the whole spring training, send him to AAA, and then like in like a month call him back up. But I think they want to see as much of him as they can.
Yeah, and he's got some good strikeout potential too. So
yeah,
he's not on the 40-man roster right now, obviously, but he seems like a guy who could definitely end up there relatively quickly.
I'm sure they could clear Asmiel Rogers for him. Like I'm sure if push came to shove.
I hope you didn't pack too much, Jose DePaula.
But I brought my whole suitcase. I brought my big suitcase.
Okay. So you can take your next player, too. We'll do a snake draft, so.
Okay. I think my next one is going to be Nick Noonan. I don't think he's good, but I think just for the sake of some versatility, they'll keep him around.
You gotta have those random no-hit infielders. They're very hard to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Matt F.
I'll take Kyle Davies. I figure if he doesn't make the team, he might be bad enough to where another team will want him and he'll like end up going to AAA.
Yeah, seems like a guy who might be starting like one of the last games of spring training. They're like, yeah, whatever, just go out there, Kyle Davies, we don't care. I kind of wish that like maybe they just have him around to like pitch to A-Rod to like get A-Rod's confidence up.
I was about to say, have like do like the inter-squad games and just like Davies against A-Rod every time.
It's like, guys, I don't know how I feel about this. Quiet, Davies.
That's your job. Okay. That's why we brought you.
A-Rod comes up at the first day of spring training. He's like, hey, do I know you? You look familiar. No.
No, I've been pitching around the minors for a while.
Yeah. Every time he sees A-Rod, he wears a mustache.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to take Jacob Lindgren, because he's the strikeout factory, and he's pretty much major league ready, so I'm feeling like they'll keep him around for quite a while. I don't think he'll make the team, but he seems like one of those guys that will probably stick around for spring training. Maybe at the end, Joe Girardi will say, like, yeah, we liked what Jakey brought to the table. And so, strikeout factory.
Lindy.
Yeah, Lindy. Granny. How about they just call him Strikey? Okay, and for my last pick, I feel like pitchers are just pretty easy to take, but it's boring to take them, so, yeah, whatever. Scott Baker, he seems like a guy who'll just be hanging around for a while toward the end of spring training. Kind of like Kyle Davies, maybe with a little bit more stock than Kyle Davies, because he's, you know, actually pitched in the major leagues in, like, the past 4 years. So, yeah, Scott Baker. He'll be underwhelming, but he'll hang around there like a glass of water. You know, he's just available at the table in case you want to drink for a bit. All right, Matt F.
I'll take Diego Moreno. He pitched last year in AAA, so I don't know. I figure like he'll be one of the relievers that sits around till the end, but ends up going like back to AAA or whatever.
Isn't that the dream?
That's a lovely Scranton.
I will take my last pick, Nick Rumbelo.
Oh man, I like Nick Rumbelo.
I actually think he's gonna last. I think he will play for the major league team at some point.
Yeah, he's really good.
Like if you throw 98, yeah, you're gonna get some innings. It doesn't even matter if you're bad. If you throw that hard, you're gonna play at some point.
Yeah, he went from, like, Charleston to Scranton last year and was striking out people the entire time, so.
Yeah, so I think he'll last.
Okay. I think that's a pretty solid pick. So I'm rolling with Francisco Arcia, Jacob Lindgren, and Scott Baker. Matt F. has Rob Refsnyder, Kyle Davies, and Diego Moreno. And Matt P. has Tyler Webb, Nick Noonan, and Nick Rumbelo. I think you should have taken Nick Goody just so you could have had like Team Nick. For me, a near miss was Eddie Rodriguez, just because I think he's the type of like AAA type catcher that's just gonna troll around for a while too. He's their Romine insurance, so in case they decide to cut Romine at the end and he doesn't clear waivers.
Yeah, who do we think is the person who goes first on this list? Not of our people we drafted, just in general.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Okay, yeah, that is good.
I think it's gonna be Vicente Campos.
I was gonna say the exact same thing. I really think it's gonna be him.
Because like I don't think he's completely rehabbed from Tommy John surgery, so I don't think he's actually gonna pitch in a game.
I just find it funny that he changed his name to Vicente.
Yeah, he's like, no, call me Vicente now.
I think it's kind of like everywhere he goes, like, oh, you're the guy in the Jesus Montero trade.
No, I'm Vicente Campos.
Yeah, he's like, no, different Campos.
I was going to say Cito, but then again, I feel like he could be someone that just likes getting like shortstop starts like towards the end of spring training.
Yes, the Addison
Maris. Like, into random, like, split squad game and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, Carmen Angelini.
Oh, yeah.
I think Campos is a good pick.
Yeah. Sometimes people will talk about Carmen Angelini, like, hey, maybe they should give him a shot.
It's like, no. Carmen Angelini sounds like some guy that owns a pizza place.
Yep.
Look up, Carmen Angelini. It's Angelini.
I feel like Jake Cave, maybe, because like he's not like this necessarily a star power like main prospect of like an Aaron Judge, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like he could go early since like he's probably not. He's obviously not going to make the team straight out of spring training, and mm-hmm. like
I think there's a chance that Andrew Bailey goes early, too. I don't think he'll get cut, but I think he might just not be entirely healthy yet, either. So.
Yeah, maybe.
And I could see them being like, yeah, we're going to just send him to, like, minor league camp to, like, work on and blah, blah, blah. Then he can go to extended spring training, which is apparently, like, the most boring place in the world.
Just, you're being sent to purgatory. I mean, extended spring training.
Like, yes, you're going to go pitch at a minor league complex. Yeah. Without, like, Derek Jeter to pick up the tab, because he's busy traveling the world. I really hope that, like, he's in, I don't know, some remote country during the Yankees home opener, and, like, the reporters are, like, trying to get a quote from him, and he's like, dude, I am in Sri Lanka. Leave me alone. I am on a soul-searching trip, which I will write about in the Players' Tribune.
The Players' Tribune.
Like how Matt Harvey wrote about walking around somewhere in Indonesia or something like that. I don't know. It's kind of weird. So, those are our NRI teams and who we think will get cut first, I guess. We'll see what happens. We don't have a tweet bag tonight, so we'll just skip right ahead. Do you guys have anything to talk about? I don't know if this, do we have a B-Ref segment this week. Maybe not.
Nah, I'm working up.
February is a bad time for finding baseball content that's new.
It's all about the Cricket World Cup.
Yep, apparently. Who is the favorite in the Cricket World Cup?
Australia.
I guess it's not too much of a surprise. They're into their cricket.
And they're it's in Australia, and so
we're into our rounders.
Yep. Okay. All right, so I think we can skip ahead to the end of the podcast now. We need to have a very meaningful Yankee and Mitra of the Week pick. So Matt F., who's your Yankee of the Week?
Kyle Roller.
I think that's fair. He got invited to spring training. Good for you, Kyle Roller. Way to be a person. Matt B., who's your Yankee of the Week?
Oh, it's A-Rod. It is A-Rod. He took a week in February. It is currently like negative 20 degrees where I am, but it is now like 80 degrees from the hot takes.
It's true. He is a very magnanimous fellow, heating up the world with his hot takes. Or with the hot takes generated by his news.
They say that the center of an atomic bomb is like the same temperature as the surface of the sun, and I say that is similar to the temperature of these takes. Similar. Because they are scorching.
Global warming is man-made, and that man is Alex Rodriguez.
I think that's fair.
It's been fun. As bad as it is, it's kind of fun to see how bad all the opinions are.
Yep. My Yankee of the Week is going to be Willie Randolph, just because I think it's awesome that he's finally getting his plaque out in Monument Park. It really should have happened like 20 years ago, but hey, they're doing it now, and I think that's just swell. And I think it's funny that he was the last good manager for the Mets, and that was like 7 years ago at this point. Oh, Mets. All right. Matt F., who's your Mitra of the Week?
Also Kyle Roller.
Yeah, come on, Kyle Roller. Step your game up. Get on Twitter, celebrate, but you didn't do anything at all. Though Kyle Roller is apparently on Twitter, but he's not tweeted since 2013. So, wow. This is, like, just a terrible Twitter account. He has, like, 5-6 tweets. One of them was, what kind of truck should I get? Ford, Chevy, Dodge, or an Avalanche? Hashtag indecisive.
That is incredible. Oh, I just found it.
His
that
first
is
tweet.
Great.
His first tweet was, good night.
Good night. And it has no mentions and no favorites. It's just a good night to nobody. Isn't that emblematic of his career?
To the world. Saying yeah. Good night, you know. Okay.
Do not go gentle into that night.
Alright, Matt P., who's your meteor of the week?
I would just say it's A-Rod again.
You can say it's the Wall Street Journal.
I'm going to say my meteor of the week is just newspapers. And because by the time this podcast is on, there will be so many articles in newspapers about how either A-Rod is great for giving an apology, how A-Rod is bad for giving an apology, or my favorite is going to be, it doesn't matter, he's just got to play ball now. So, I'm excited for tomorrow morning to see all of the takes in their glory.
Yeah, he's got a lot of opinions, so we'll see. All these newspapers, like, oh, we gotta... Quick, we need some A-Rod story. It doesn't matter what the A-Rod story is. Just get one up there.
Quick, turn on the takes machine.
Okay, my meteor of the week is Chuck Knobloch, because he's whining about Andy Pettit on Twitter when he is not in any place to be judging people on their character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Chuck Knobloch. What was it that you did? What was... Oh, that's right. You threw a humidifier at your wife. That is... Yeah, that, never mind. You are in a perfect position to judge.
Literally, the first thing that when you Google Chuck Knobloch, the first thing that comes up is his mugshot, and when you go to Google Images, it just says wife.
Yep, that sounds about right.
I mean, he doesn't forget the part. Does he remember the part where they had Chuck Knobloch Day canceled?
Yeah, the twins were going to put him in their Hall of Fame, and then they're like, on second thought.
And they canceled it because he was arrested on the same day.
Charming.
So, he is a bad person.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Whatever. Like, I'm sure that there was a point in there somewhere about, like, you know, it's odd how people treat PED users differently, but he is not the person that needs to be leading that discussion.
Well, the other thing is, he was on the Mitchell Report.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he was like, oh, he literally said, quote, I did HGH. It didn't help me out. It didn't make me any better. I had the worst years of my career from a batting average standpoint, and I got hurt. So there was no good that came out of it for me. It was not performance enhancing for me. So if he thinks that it's not performance enhancing, why does he care if Andy Pettit took HGH?
Yeah, it's like, oh no, he's not doing well either.
So if he thinks that he did worse from HGH, then you think that he's a better player.
Chuck Knobloch is not a smart person.
No, never. Not really.
Anyway, so I think that'll do it for us, unless you guys have anything more.
No more Chuck Knobloch takes.
Nope. Anyone have takes on, I don't know, Mike Gallego?
I don't really know.
Not really.
Okay. Oh, I'll also add an honorary Yankee of the Week for Jason Giambi, who finally retired. Yeah. Long overdue retirement for Giambi, but I always enjoyed watching him. So
I actually do have a Jason Giambi, a short Jason Giambi story.
Go for it.
Jason Giambi was actually, my brother's not a big baseball fan, but like when he was a kid, his favorite player was Jason Giambi. And we went to a Yankee game, I think this was in 2006, maybe? And we sat in the upper deck in right field. And for some reason, my parents just, like, did not want to just wear, like, Yankee stuff or anything. They wanted to wear, like, normal clothes. And my dad goes to this game at Yankee Stadium in a bright teal shirt. Just the brightest shirt ever. So we sit in the upper deck, and Jason Giambi hits, like, two home runs into the upper deck. So we get home, and we turn on ESPN, and they have, like, the top 10 highlights of Jason Giambi hitting home runs in the upper deck. And you just see the upper deck of Yankee Stadium with my dad's bright teal shirt sticking out of the screen.
All right, then. So, well, you can point it out. So it's like, oh, yeah, that's where I was.
So, yeah. That's the only interesting thing I have with Jason Giambi, other than the fact that he was fun to watch. It was a lot of fun.
Here's breaking news. Dodgers have David Huff and David Ardsma on minor league deals.
David Ardsma of Yankees David Ardsma fame?
Yes, and David Huff of Yankees David Huff fame, too.
They're getting the band back together.
Yeah. They're going to rebuild Bruce Billings on the 2013 Yankees. Bruce, what are you doing? I actually do wonder what Bruce Billings is doing right now. Let's see.
They call up
I have no
Cody
idea what
Wade.
Team he's on, but I'm going to guess Pirates.
They might, at this point, call up Corey Wade and Clay Rapata and just say, join the gang!
Okay, this is terrible. Like, a Twitter search Bruce Billings, and, like, one of the first things to show up is, like, some random person saying, like, holiday celebration with Bruce Billings, and it's, like, some lady with a guy in a wheelchair. I don't think that's the Bruce Billings. Oh, okay, he was signed by the Nationals. So he's in spring training, learning natitude. So, good for you, Bruce Billings. I wonder if... Okay, this is just enthralling podcast radio, I'm sure, but what is Jim Miller doing?
I just left, he's a free agent.
He's still out there! I was kind of hoping that he signed with, like, Korea or something like that.
One of the other things that comes up if you look up Bruce Billings is... this Twitter account called Recommend Item. Rare, 2010, Topps Pro Debut. Bruce Billings.
Yes!
And then you can purchase it for $5.
Wow, that is a great deal.
That's a steep price to pay for a Bruce Billings rookie card.
That's, like, unaffectedly wild when they were talking about, like, how much do you think, like, the other Ryan Braun rookie card sells for? The relief pitcher Ryan Braun.
Oh, you're not that Ryan Braun. His rookie card is actually pretty funny. He was on the Tulsa Drillers at that time, which is a great team name.
It is.
And I think the T in Tulsa is shaped like a drill.
All right, then.
Yeah, I believe so.
Which is just I think it is.
Okay, so I think that'll do it for us on the Pinstripe Valley podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Valley. You can follow me on Twitter at Mearns PSA. Follow Matt P on Twitter at MattProv94. You can follow Matt F on Twitter at MattF15. Follow our GIFs account at PSA_GIFs. Like us on Facebook, and we will like you at facebook.com/Pinstripe Valley. Where you can also like the Greg Bird page, which I believe you can go with people that do are like people on Pinstripe Valley. It's like six people. So, and rate and review us on iTunes, subscribe. Always love to hear any feedback you might have. So, as we start Pond Spring training, next time we podcast, there will be stuff actually going on, and maybe one of the guys we predicted will be cut. All right. So, for Matt P and Matt F, have a good night. Cell phone is dead, lost in the desert.